everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another recording. I think I'm recording episode 203 this morning, and I'm so honored and so happy. We were just chatting a little bit before we hit the record button here with my two guests with me today. It is absolutely stunning after 20, 25 years of, you know, working in the industry like family, like colleagues, like friends, specifically with Mugais and Andre Pelagin. Welcome to the conversation, both of you. I really appreciate you having you with me. And you know what? I'm going to start with the easy one. Let's get started with this because I've got a long list of stuff that we need to cover together. For those, you know, just anecdotally before we go through the introduction, I just want to, for the audience who are avid listeners to this channel, I just want to let you know on a little secret about me and Andre. Andre and I, we go back in time when the word localization was not yet even on the agenda of anybody or in the dictionary of anybody. It was not even a business term. We worked together at LexiTech. I don't know if you guys recall, some of the audience recall, Andre definitely recalls, and LexiTech International. And either of us at the time, we knew what 25 years forward, what that's going to bring to us, what's in store for us after 25 years. And I look back where we were and where we are right now, and I'm so honored and so happy to have both of you, Andre and Mugais, with me here today to talk about very, very interesting topic. You guys launched a brand new company. I'm excited to find out a bit more about language intelligence company and language intelligence in the sense of where you guys are positioning it. I'm happy to get you both on the call here with me this morning. And let me start with Andre. If you don't mind, Andre, everybody on this channel gets this question. It's an easy one. What is your story? What got you here?
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you first. Thank you so much, Robin, for having me on your show. And I just want to make a comment here. We work with a lot of agencies supporting our group of companies, but mostly also on PR. And back in December, when we asked them about which channels should we chase to promoting our business or to be at, the Localization Fireside Chat, your show was on the top of the list. So congratulations on the success of that show.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
And again, I had no doubt. You and I, Robin, we go back so many years ago. And again, if I know of someone that I can say he's the best PR in our industry, no doubt it is Robin Ayoub.
Appreciate it.
And what got me into this industry was Robin Ayoub. And you know, there's a Japanese belief that says you don't meet people just by accident or a coincidence. It was meant to happen. And I think, and some people come into your life to help you. Some they come to maybe not to help you. And that's what got me into this industry, which is, I was working in another capacity, still in business development back in the days in e-learning, and that company was having a bad day. And I was just looking for an exit strategy. I did some telecom business in the past, and I saw localization in my head. It was like geolocalization. That's how I connected. And short story, I'm with Robin sitting and talking. Robin is talking about translation. I was like, what does have translation to do with localization? I have no idea. And again, sometimes you regret those conversations, but that meeting and that conversation, I would never regret. Look where I got here. So that's what got me started. It was a little mistake that I never regretted.
And I really appreciate the universe that brought us together, to be honest with you. My brother and from a different mother, I would call it, and my colleague, and you know, we've developed, we became a family almost after so many years of working together. And I really cherish this relationship that we've developed over time, you and I. Mugais Jahangir. And Mugais, you work with MemoQ, and I've interviewed you before. That's not your first time on the channel. Yes. So you're not a novice to this. You're a veteran now, anybody who came on this channel before. And Andre, you've been on the channel a couple of times.
It was at the beginning. I do remember.
There you go.
It was one of the...
You know, I'll tell you a little anecdote a little later. Mugais, what's the connection? If you don't mind, just let's do the same question that we asked Andre, if you don't mind. Where are you from and how did you get here business-wise, personal, however you want to spin that? And also, if you don't mind, tie it to where you are right now.
Thank you for having me again, Robin. It's always a pleasure to be on this show. So my journey in localization started with MemoQ. And now with language intelligence, there is some commonality between why I started with MemoQ and why I'm also now working with language intelligence. With MemoQ, what I realized is where the market is headed and who understands it well. And when I looked at the the market scenario in the US and Canada, I realized MemoQ was best positioned to understand enterprise SaaS. And now with AI, when I see everybody going in different directions, I wanted to know who understands this new era the best. And that's what got me into language intelligence, because that MemoQ was enterprise SaaS, which is still, my assumptions were pretty accurate with MemoQ, and I'm pretty sure my assumptions with language intelligence are fairly accurate, but this is about AI now. And I think language intelligence is best positioned for that. And that's what got me here.
And so you still with MemoQ? You still working with MemoQ or just yes. Focusing on language intelligence? Or
so I'm still working with MemoQ. I'm still working with language intelligence. We developed Fluent together with MemoQ. I was part of the team that developed Fluent, not from the development side, but from the sales side. So I'm aware of the core of the product, and with language intelligence as well, I'm in the same role. So I'm heading the sales for both MemoQ and language intelligence.
Well, glad to have you both of you here with me. One question goes to both of you, I guess. Let's get a little bit, backtrack a little bit and talk about when you look where the industry was a few years ago versus where we are right now. And if you don't mind, Andre, what is the one shift that nobody in the office, a few years ago when you were, doing what all language professionals at the time were doing, what did they not expect and where we are right now? And they did not really predict where we are right now. What shifted?
Very good question, Robin. Part of actually thinking back, and you did mention Lexitech, which a legacy that today, when I think of that Lexitech at the days when I joined this company, was at its prime. It was the LSP for Canada. It was the largest, mm-hmm. It was the most trusted, the best quality. Yeah, things changed. But this is where I learned the foundational knowledge of language services. This is where I learned that it's not about translation. It's about the every word that you write, and it's the impact. Right, I had to work with a lot of our former colleagues that we recall you and I, and it was a lot of learning. Even when CLS communication, these are the days where I learned the risks of that are behind also language services. And again, if I bring back myself to those days and thinking about all these years and what people miss sometimes in their vision of what the next step could be or what the next phase is. That was something I also experienced when I worked with you at Lionbridge and worked at TransPerfect, two global companies, where then you know and you understand that language is not just a service, it is a core infrastructure for multinational companies. It becomes, it is a value drive, although until today, I still haven't accepted the reality of how some companies today or some of the market still treats language services as a commodity. It's a value driver, it's not a commodity. So what I think people are missing all the time is to think forward of an evolution of how this profession, to start with, I'm not a translator, you're not a translator, and neither of you guys, but the profession evolves. It will never end, but it evolves in its role. And going back to the days where you and I worked at Lexitech, a translation practice or process was so different from how today it's done. And I always give this example now, which is not as a profession, but if we look at the days that we used to drive manual cars, now we're driving electric car, we don't drive anymore, right? It's your performance in driving is just to be in control. But the car is driving itself. So you change the way that you actually sit behind the wheel and you drive. And that's how I feel like what people misses in language services is that aspect. How do I sit behind the wheel now back in the days during the machine translation, now in an AI era?
Instead of being inside the process, we always talked about this one. Instead of being inside the process, you go sit outside the process and look at the process and make sure the process is going well. I know, I appreciate that. You just made me reminisce, and specifically when you spoke about electric cars. I had a dinner meeting the other day up in Danforth. I was in the parking lot sitting in my car on my way back home. I'm just trying to turn my car on, and I see a Tesla driving in the parking lot on its own and going in and out and zooming around, and then made the turn, and it's coming to my car, and my car is parked. I started freaking out. This car's not going to, there's nobody in the car. It's just on its own. And then I see a guy walking through the parking lot, running, waving his cell phone. Then all of a sudden the car stopped within a feet, 1 foot from my car. You should be in charge of technology. Don't let it control you. That's the moment.
Yes. It is so amazing how technology is evolving in our days and maybe our kids' days in the future. And I'm someone who embraces technology a lot. I know you are as well. We both have background in computer science and all that. And that's why you cannot avoid the evolution of technology. We just have to embrace it and be responsibly using it.
That's absolutely. Now, Mogesh, on your side, though, you've worked for MemoQ for a long time. MemoQ is recognized and known as a tech company in our industry for many, many years. What have you noticed in the past short little while here in terms of the shift in thinking, the shift in technology that's forcing the new thinking that you observed?
One of the things that stands out for me is the speed and scale of innovation right now. We spoke about innovation, right? We already mentioned the example of electric cars, but the speed and scale of innovation right now is so massive that we've never seen before. We don't have the luxury to identify what's the trend and then spend 6 years on developing and then telling the market, hey, this is what we produce, right? By the time you launch it, it's already outdated. That's the scale and speed we are dealing with. And so that's what I noticed within MemoQ as well. So one of the things that we kept thinking about, and that's how Fluent came into existence, is how can we position ourselves in a way where whatever the new innovation comes along, we are empowering these companies to be ready for that. We don't force upon them something that we took 6 months to develop and that by the time we launch it, it's already outdated. No, there has to be a different way of thinking. And I've been working with enterprise sales for over a decade now. I understand the buying process. I understand how difficult it is for companies to commit to one technology. And then if you go back to them after 6 months, hey, you know what, there's something new in the market. Would you like to switch? And that is those are the daunting words to hear for anyone in an enterprise. How can we develop something that, you know, if we go to this company and say, hey, this is a new innovative thing that you can use right now. This is the best, let's say, translation LLM model, for example, that you can use now. But 3 months later, something even better comes along. You don't want to change the entire infrastructure. It should be a change of a button, you know, one click and okay, you have the latest model now, right? So thinking of that, that's how Fluent came into existence. And this is something we haven't seen before. And you will see a lot of companies making mistakes launching products because they're still thinking in that era where it was fine to spend a 6-7 month period on innovating a product and then launching it and saying, this is the best, this is the latest and the greatest. But it's not. By the time you launch it, it's probably already outdated. And we've probably seen it in our day-to-day usage as well. And I think that's the most striking shift that I've seen in the market working at MemoQ. And that exactly is how Fluent also came into existence. And I'm very excited about how this will turn out because I think we've figured out the sweet spot to handle the innovation of this speed and scale.
You know, you bring a very valid point because every statement I've heard on this podcast and everybody who made a statement here for the past 2.5 years, it's kind of, I call it a short expiry date on it. You know, whatever we think is absolute now, wait a minute. And then whatever we would have thought that is possible, maybe it's impossible, or the other way around. Maybe whatever we thought impossible today, it's possible. And you know, Andre mentioned earlier, like, you know, we both have a tech background and the three of us have tech backgrounds here. So back in the days, you know, most software company or most tech companies, they used to battle with something called agile development, meaning that, you know, I want to make sure that I continue developing and solving these problems. But there is a gap between when the problem was identified, you're right, Mugais, when the problem was identified and sending the fix to it. And Microsoft was famous for this one. Oh, you've got a problem, I sell you a solution. So now with the technology, the way it works, and the foundational technology that we're using, we eliminated the need, I guess, for let's wait for the next revision or let's wait for the next release. The foundational technology that everybody is using right now, it's allowing for that, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is for that injection of models, new processes, new ways, features, functionalities, you know, right on the fly. So the customer doesn't have to really wait for a solution to come along. Is this where we're heading with this technology that you guys putting it out there right now?
Yes. And one of the things I would add is, you know, a few years ago, selling features was, you know, the one thing that companies would focus on. This is the latest feature that we have. This is the new thing that the software can do. We are beyond that stage now. It's more about the infrastructure that you are building things on. So this is slightly different conceptually, the things that we are used to doing. And that's why I said that a lot of companies will make mistakes in this era is because they're still thinking in that enterprise SaaS mindset. You know, we add more features, we do this, we do that, and the companies will buy it, which is not the case anymore. An example I like to give to a 10-year-old, for example, about what am I doing with language intelligence? And I say, you know, you have your smartphone with you, you're not happy with your carrier. In one click, you can download another eSIM and you switch your carrier. That's how easy it should be for companies to switch the latest model, for example, right? It should not be the case that you have a network locked phone that you have to just give up and then buy the entire thing all over again, which is a complete opposite of what we want to do now. Maybe a year or two ago, that was fine. You identified the best model that you can work with. This model in our lab test controlled environment had amazing results. So this is the best. But by the time you launch it, it's not really the best. And we don't want companies to be tied to products that are outdated in 3 months. Right? So we want to give that flexibility where you are able to switch to whatever is the latest innovation without changing your entire infrastructure behind it. It's all about orchestration. And I think that's where we are headed. And companies that are able to understand that, what we are trying to do is now being able to communicate that. This is one of the platforms that we're using, right? To communicate that we want to educate enterprise buyers that we have been working with enterprise buyers for decades. We know your problems. We know how difficult it is to make a decision on and commit to it. But don't commit to something and lock yourself in with a product that will be outdated in 6 months. No, we can't take that risk. You can't take that risk right now. Absolutely. And that's what our focus was when creating this product.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mugesh. Appreciate it. Now, Andre, LIC officially launched April 9th. I guess you were in town for that event, and it was a great event. I saw a lot of PR on that one. And so now, about a week ago, I guess that was like 2 weeks ago almost now, like a week ago. I think like it was 2 weeks ago now. Walk me through the moment you knew you had to build this. What gap did you see that nobody else saw? And what problem you think LIC will solve in the industry here, specifically in Canada?
So as you know, Robin, I run LSP, a language service provider company called Nations Translation Group. And at the moment that I stepped into Nations, my goal was not just to grow the company. My goal was to redefine what an LSP of the new generation or the next generation should be operating and look like. And that was the journey that we did at Nations. And during that journey, which was very, very successful for us, I definitely had to experience the latest technologies because that's the direction I was taking. And the frustration came from exploring and discovering different AI or NMT products on the market to see what best fit not just our company, but our customers. And Nations has hundreds of clients from public to private sector clients, each with different requirements, different scope of work and all that. And let's not forget there's a production side of that. And with AI evolving, AI is becoming more of an infrastructure or part of the infrastructure for organizations. So Nations, we were in a growth mode since 4 years. We were in an evolution or digital transformation since 4 years. We were in acquisition more than since 4 years. Part of the acquisition appetite that we had was also technology companies. But while we're doing this exercise, this is where it clicked that there isn't a product today that is custom and designed to be for large enterprises and for government agencies that can be first, you know, designed to their domain, to their data itself, but also is private. It is not an AI that I'm using or an engine that I'm using that it was pre-trained by a company A, B, C, D, and it is secure. I am not like my data is residing on this engine and it's not going anywhere else. So this conversation started back about a year and a half ago, exploring this. And as I mentioned then, you know, we were exploring different products. And one of the product that we explored was a MemoQ product. And then we had the second MemoQ product. So this is where I realized there's a company who has proven records into developing technologies for language services or for the language industry, very effective and highly performing because our team has been giving us the feedback from our clients and from our production and was giving me the green light to say, now I don't have just a partner on technology, I have the right partner also for this new product that we want to do together. And that's where it all started. It took the right product, the right company, the right partner, the right team.
Now, for the audience, for both of you, I think It's very important to clear or to make sure that they understand that this is a joint venture. It's a structure of real strategic choice. Nations Translation Services or Nation Translation Group brings the LSP credibility on the government relationship, and MemoQ brings the technology track and the technology stack that gets into the solution. The question becomes evident, I guess, in this case. How do you prevent those two cultures from pulling in the opposite direction, of course, after the press release fades?
Okay, so I'll put the role of the shareholders for Language Intelligence is simply into investing into the joint venture company to serve a certain particular market. It is designed particularly for large enterprises and government agencies. So this is not a product for B2C. It is not a product for LSP even. So we don't compete with an LSP. We don't service an LSP. And this is why there's no disconnect between what the shareholders of Language Intelligence, mainly the largest shareholder, Nations Translation Group, and MemoQ, will have a confusion on that, because we're not an LSP, it's an AI company.
Now, one of the, maybe you can help me with this one, because one of the things that I've read, and you and I have had a conversation about this one, about LIC, is the entire discussion or the big feature in the solution was sovereign AI, Andre and Mugais. Maybe one of you can take that on. And this is deliberate, and it's a great differentiator. I live and work in Canada, so I've heard this conversation many times over. And it goes from general purpose AI tools to a specifically designed AI tools for what I would call the Canadian market. But I'm not saying just stick specifically with the Canadian market. In today it is, but tomorrow probably have the opportunity with transportability to other markets who shares the same concerns when it comes to where the data is resident. Can you speak a little bit to the data sovereignty?
Yes. So in few words, when we speak about sovereignty, it is about control and governance, right? When I'm an enterprise, I'm a big financial institution, I'm a legal firm, I'm a big manufacturer, I'm a consulting agency, I'm a marketing agency, I'm a government agency, having control over my data and having governance over my data is what is considered as a sovereign solution.
And where is the data sitting? Where's the data sitting in this case? Where data at rest, the data in transit?
It is sitting at the client premise.
Okay. So behind the firewall, basically.
Yes. So
you see, this is what's been missing in the industry. This is what has been missing in the industry, Andre and Mugais. You know, most of these, what I would call, you know, I used to hear this quite a bit. Now it's no longer that way. They used to call it exotic solutions. They're talking about AI machine translation. We don't have those exotic features in Canada. And why? Because we just take them as as a feature from a larger institution that's trying to sell them in Canada, whatever that is, ChatGPT, Claude, etc. But now everybody in Canada and anybody in the world, for that matter, have a concern. Where is my data? Who's controlling it? And do I have the right to see where the data is and erase it if I want to, delete it, control it, in transit or at rest, encrypt it for that matter? Because there is regulations, there's a bunch of things that gets into how the data is being manipulated. Specifically, if you take the example of the European, for instance, GDPR and all these processes or regulation that are in place, data is not easy to control if you're working in a regulated industry. If data at rest and data in transit is located here and it's behind the firewall, that's a great advantage, guys.
This is one aspect. So where the data is located is one thing. Who owns it is another thing. Right? It's another big question. Who owns that data? Can it be audited? When I'm working with an AI company, can I audit that data? Can I know that my data is secure and I'm not at a risk of a breach? And last, am I, like you said, compliant to the jurisdiction of my country, whether if I'm in Europe, and Canada, US, South Africa, Australia? So these are the questions that we wanted to answer in Fluent, which is the product that Language Intelligence launched as a premier platform. And Fluent is not designed, again, as I said, is not a license that you buy to translate using AI. It is an AI platform that becomes core infrastructure of an enterprise, where at scale, your organization can leverage from using AI into the purpose of multilingual communication that you could use. Again, not everything is to be run simply by AI. human in the loop is still needed in many aspects. And we have an LSP, we have a language service provider, we understand that importance. But there's a lot today that AI can do with no human supervision. And at Nations Translation Group, which is a language service provider, we have clients running on AI solutions, no human in the loop, top quality, no issues, no delays. AI can be working effectively in some areas, but in some other areas, the human in the loop is still required. And the objective of language intelligence from an end point, from the end client point, it is not to replace a translator. It is really to increase companies' productivity, right? Today, you and I, if I have a message or an email or a PowerPoint, whatever it is that I need to translate, I have either to put it in a translation process that sometimes is complex, costly, takes time. So I have to wait until this translation is back to me to move forward. And in other form also, so that increases the productivity that I can make my decision right now. I can move forward. I can push that productivity much faster. And the performance of a company's staff and employees. Because I'm not a linguist, you're not a linguist, Robin. I can draft a message and it's not perfect. I cannot say linguistically it's perfect. AI comes to improve my language performance instantly. And imagine if that AI is only designed and trained by your company's data, by your company's brand and brand voice, right? So accuracy is very high in a set. As I said, we have already clients on those workflows that are fully automated, no human in the loop, top quality, no issues.
Absolutely. You know what? This is great to success because most people are still screaming from the top of their lungs, human in the loop. And, you know, we want to see people involved in every step of the process and guide, you know, every step of the process. It doesn't matter what technology you use. I think there's a still bit of a nostalgia going on in the industry, quite a bit of a nostalgia. And, you know, these are the days down the road. I feel like some people will be talking about them. Like currently we talk about a Shakespearean piece of theater that we all, you know, nostalgically go to a theater to see or watch. I don't think technology will stop. The genie's out of the bottle and technology will continue evolving, continue to develop. Now, go ahead.
There's a transformation phase we're going through, I believe, right now.
It is transformational.
I don't have stats that tells me precisely how many words in 2025 were processed and produced by AI only. But you and I, we know that there was so many research before on machine translation and the amount of data that goes into machine translation only and the amount of data that is processed by human professional translators. That equation will always remain. The only thing that is changing today, as we go back to the point of driving the electric car. If I am a linguist today, my role is no longer to translate like I used to translate 20 years ago. The translation process changed. And I call it, and I know a lot of them in our industry, they're liking the term I'm using, which is auditing. We're doing language auditing because the AI, if it's well-trained, well-designed, I can perform better. I can produce more words in a day or in an hour. Why not? And there's other roles in the profession where the linguists are the conductors of the AI.
Absolutely.
So they just have to embrace and find themselves into this new ecosystem.
You know, you just reminded me.
No one's going to lack jobs.
You know, you just reminded me when I was a little kid, my dad used to work for just outside of Beirut in the 7-Up bottling factory. He'd take me, I'm like 5-6 years old. He takes me with him to show me where he works. And I see these bottles are moving on a conveyor belt. And there's these people, they're sitting on a sort of a high chair and their eyes are just looking at the bottles. So I was just, I can't believe I remember this. I said to my father, I said, what are these people doing? He said, they're just watching the bottles as they go by to see if any of these bottles have defects in them. And you just remind me of this. I mean, if we are going to be monitoring how the bottles or how things are moving on a conveyor belt and making sure that the quality is there, and if there is a problem, go in and fix it, that's the value of the human.
The other day, I made the same similar comment. We had an executive meeting here, and I gave the same example. Back in the early 20th century, the industrial evolution, you know, there were so many jobs that changed, but still human finding roles and jobs and careers changed, but we all will have work. We'll all have to find, you know, our place in the new ecosystem. And this is the transformation. That's why right now we see people embracing the change. Still people, like you said, they're still, and again, it will always be like this.
100%.
We cannot change people's mind, but that's the evolution.
Mugesh, I've got a question for you. Just to run through this scenario with me. A chief information officer in a federal department or federal government is evaluating right now language intelligence. They've been burned before by generic machine translation. What is the one sentence that closes the conversation in your favor?
Is the person in Canada?
Obviously.
There you go. So it's a technology that's built in Canada for Canadians. And I think from the government's perspective as well, data being in Canada is paramount right now. As Andre mentioned, you know, can you audit the data, right? So for us, that's really important. And also, one of the things that Andre also mentioned was it's custom trained on your data, right? So the way we designed the product was not to be generic. Any data coming from your organization, any sort of specific resources that are specific to your organization, the results coming out of Fluent should reflect that. And if you can't do that, then it's a standard plug and play solution that does not work. It's the same thing that the standard MT solutions are providing. But with Fluent, you're getting those custom results. You're getting that technology that is, first of all, keeping your data within Canada, being able to make it custom to your organizational language, and providing data security and sovereignty that is incredibly important for a decision maker.
Thank you so much, Mogesh. I really appreciate it. I think there is a bit of a background sound. I think it's coming from your side, Mogesh. I don't know if it's yes or no on that one. Or you, Andre. Is it from your side?
Sure.
But that's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of that through the edit process.
I would like to add to that, Robin. So again, you know, I'm involved so much in what's happening in the industry, and we hear a lot. So last year, while we're doing this exercise, something I noticed in discussions with decision makers at government side and also at the private side, anytime that it comes to innovation, we all want to see, you know, what the latest innovation can bring to us. But there's a lot of question mark and risks behind that. So there's control, like we said, you know, about sovereignty, there's control, there's performance, and there's output and expectations. Fluent, our product, answers all these questions. You don't have to choose between innovation, control, efficiency, and it is all designed for that purpose. So this is really, really important. And another aspect for that, because it's an enterprise solution, so it is not like connected to a sort of an NMT branded as AI or using a specific LLM. I'll give an example. If I'm a big institution, Canadian institution today, I could be a client of one of those big giant techs to say when it comes to our technology strategy. I could be a Microsoft company in terms of technology strategy. And maybe I've decided to use Copilot and have my private Copilot LLM that I invested hundreds and sometimes millions of dollars to integrate that with my company. Why would I have to use an AI solution for language that is connected to something else where I don't have control to the data, have no visibility, cannot audit that, and is out of my control? And could be a big data risk for me. Fluent comes in to answer that question. Fluent connects to all top LLMs, all preferred LLMs by government and global governments and enterprises are integrated with Fluent. That's the answer. You don't have to change your LLM. You don't have to change your environment. And that's what Mugais was saying earlier. When you need to switch vendor because I'm not happy, you're not changing your core LLM. You're just having a second layer of that AI. And what's important and different as well from other engines in the market, you don't train back the LLM. Your data does not train the LLM.
Okay. So we need to look a little bit more on that one.
I was thinking about the question earlier from Robin about the two cultures. It's also important for a decision maker to know who they're buying from. The MemoQ has been in the industry for decades, and same with nations. We have done this. We have done this before. We have worked with, if you look at the government agencies in Canada, MemoQ is a favored technology provider. Nations is a favored service provider. They know what we are. We understand their model. We understand what they need. This technology was built keeping that in mind. The team was built around that, keeping that in mind. And one of the things that I probably said in my previous podcast with you, Robin, is when MemoQ expands to a new market, one of the things that has been incredibly successful for us is trying to be local. We don't sit in Budapest and ship the product globally. We go and establish ourselves in the market locally. That's how I joined MemoQ as well. We came to Canada. We hired a team that could speak Canadian French. We had support in Canada, and we built a Canadian MemoQ version that was favored by the government. You know, the same technology provider would now partnering with nations, understands what the federal government needs, understands what the provincial governments need. So that is also important for a decision maker to know whether the the people I'm buying from, do they really understand the needs? And that, I think, is sometimes ignored when you just look at on paper, when you look at the technology, it might be able to write a few nice words, but at the core of it, do you really understand what these government agencies need?
You know, I love how you mentioned Budapest, maybe by accident, I don't know, but there must be some inside track on that one, but we won't dig into that right now. Just both of you, if you don't mind, while we're talking right now, a lot of our listeners saying, okay, I'm in. So who's your ideal customer profile right now?
Any organization that is deemed to be a corporation invested or looking to invest into leveraging from AI today, becoming an infrastructure of their business, is a target client or a potential. We are the platform for them. And we're talking about from, as I said, from federal government, provincial governments, enterprises. Again, the solution is not deemed just to translate or to replace a certain process. It is deemed to leverage from how we can use AI into multilingual communication to improve productivity, performance, and no doubt you'll have cost saving, significant cost saving. But that's you know, a goal that will definitely be automatically happening. The main achievements that you would look after implementing the solution is increasing productivity and performance.
Now, Fluent is product one. What categories of enterprise language problems are you targeting next? And how do you sequence or roadmap when technology is moving this fast? I mean, we just talked about how fast technology is moving earlier. So
yes.
What's next?
The vision is we have a roadmap. We have phases in the development and we have a large team right now working on that. So the next thing is about integrated solutions. I mean, more integrated than we are today. Having our solutions at any endpoint. It could be at a mobile, it could be at a vehicle, any endpoint where AI could be used for the purpose of language and communication. That is our goal into the roadmap that we have for the future.
And is there a distinction between government industry versus public sector industry, private sector industry in your potential customer base?
Can you elaborate that?
Is there a difference how you deploy the technology for government versus, I don't know, a bank or
not really.
Somebody else?
What could be different, you know, private companies may say, you know what, this solution can be on-premise. It could be on your private cloud, but even we can host it for them. Some clients may say, hey, you know what, security is important, but I trust you enough. I've been your client for many years because, you know, we have secure data centers, we have security clearances, protected environments. So where it could be different is where our clients can say, or a private sector can say, I'm comfortable for language intelligence to host a solution for us. But again, the solution is designed to be deployed on-premise or on their private cloud, simply because we want them to have control and we want them to govern their environment.
And
we will support, we will maintain, we'll do all of that, but it will be on their
Okay. And how do you maintain the support? Is that remotely or do you send engineers or how does that work?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
Okay. Okay.
We have teams to do both.
All right. Well, guys, anything you'd like to add there?
Yes, I was just going to say that the core principle of our product or the range of products that come along is just, as I said in the beginning, is to empower governments and enterprises to not worry about what if something more innovative comes tomorrow, right? We are providing that infrastructure where they have the flexibility. You mentioned private sector, public sector. Maybe the private sector would, in a finance industry, wants a specific LLM that they like. You know, they can choose that LLM. Maybe the government wants a Canadian LLM. They can choose that. Maybe the government in Europe wants a European LLM. So the flexibility is provided by language intelligence. Right? We provide the infrastructure. So 6 years down the line, if you want to incorporate the latest technologies, language intelligence will still be there. And we will just, with a flick of switch, be able to provide the latest technologies for you. And that's the core principle we are working with. We don't want you to tie in with a technology that could be outdated in a few months. We want to provide you with an infrastructure that can help you scale and can help you grow, can help the Canadian government increase global trade, for example, using the same technology, using the same infrastructure, you know, without worrying about. And when I mentioned the speed and scale of technology, we should also keep in mind that the laws might change. Data laws might change. You could have a scenario where a specific country would say, we want all our data to be on premises. Great, language intelligence can do that. We don't want you to just get rid of your entire infrastructure. And that's a huge cost for anyone, right? So having that flexibility is a peace of mind for governments, is a peace of mind for enterprises. And I think our core principle will remain the same, whatever comes along in the road.
One of the key differentiators that we have not yet addressed, and thank you both for the conversation today. I really appreciate this. I am learning a lot, and I'm sure my audience is learning in the same process. The indigenous ownership angle, which is very important. And I wanted to bring that up because, you know, the LIC right now is a majority indigenous owned company. And for listeners who might read this as a PR line, no, help them understand what this actually mean in terms of governance, benefits, and what do you think the company or goes over the next decade using that structure?
It's a great question, Robin. And I can actually take you back a little bit to the Nations Translation Group, who is the major shareholder at Language Intelligence. And with the success that we had at Nations Translation Group, we made an intentional decision to remain independent, remain Canadian and indigenous owned, despite that we had multiple offers to sell, merge, you know the story and what happens.
Everybody's looking to buy it now.
And we were doing the opposite. We were growing. And going back 4 years ago, and I think maybe that was part of the first podcast that you and I did, the goal was to make a company that is indigenous owned one of the major players in the world. And we made it to the first top 100 list like 3 years ago. Slater called us as a challenger LSP. With Language Intelligence, that intentional decision is still right there. So we don't dilute the ownership of the company. We are an majority indigenous owned company. It is managed on a share board. There's a majority indigenous board members taking those decisions. It's managed, governed, and owned by indigenous communities. That's intentional. The owners, and you've met maybe one of the large shareholders of the company, they want to keep on growing and maintaining, investing for Canada, investing in AI for the Canadian competitiveness and infrastructure. Part of also our values is giving back to communities every year by offering job opportunities, internships, scholarship, and we continue to do the same with Language Intelligence. This is core, like this is in our DNA. It will never change.
Absolutely. Mugesh, anything you'd like to add?
I would go back to the idea of we are Canadian and we are very local.
Absolutely. Canadian and very local. How do you, it sort of lend itself because obviously you develop a product not just for Canada. You probably have intentions of taking it outside of Canada. What would be the mechanism to do that? You know, not necessarily from a software perspective, but from a structure perspective. Yeah.
So from a support or service side, this is covered already internationally. But the product is designed, as I said, when we say a sovereign product, that it sits on your premise. So regardless where your location is, whether you reside in Canada, in Europe, in Germany, in Australia. So the solution is designed to be in a secure environment at your premise or in a private cloud. So that's the sovereign side of it. The ownership, the IP of the product is a Canadian IP. The company is Canadian. So that's what makes it more Canadian. And yeah, it is designed for Canada with the intention of having international clients, which we already have in discussions with Mugais, a lot of deals right now happening.
What I can tell you, Robin, if someone right now in Germany wants to talk to us, we will have a German-speaking local person talk to them. We'll have an account manager who can speak German and is very local. We have the entire thing globally set up. And they can also choose a European LLM to be incorporated with Fluent. And that maintains the core principle, as I said, you know, being sovereign, making sure that anyone who's using Language Intelligence has full control over the data and is talking to a local team. And that's how we designed the...
Totally. Go ahead, Andre.
I'd like to add a point to Robin. This is something also important. Whomever is listening to us today on this podcast may say, so how would this happen? We only deploy a turnkey solution. So they will not just get a license that they would have to go and configure. No. This is a full turnkey solution that we take their data, we cure it, train the engine, deploy, test, and roll out. So it's a full process that we take ownership of, and we only deliver a turnkey solution.
Now,
We've done it for our businesses. We've done it for our businesses. We've done it for our clients before. And that's how we're doing it for others.
You know, like that expertise plus innovation, I think it's a good formula. You come from an expertise, meaning that you've brought the service background and you've got the tech background through MemoQ, plus the innovation on top of that. If I was in the language industry or language industry consumer or buyer, I got to feel a little bit more confidence in engaging with you guys, because what's the competition? I mean, some young people who are, or not young people, it doesn't matter. Some couple of guys, they come up with an idea and they start selling it from scratch. Good for them. Every startup is got a place. But for those who are looking for confidence in engaging with companies that have been there, done that, you know, developed it, tested it, they've got a flagship customer on board. And we know, you know, can demonstrate that it works. I think it's just got to give them a bit of a more confidence to engage with you guys. One of the things is, like, for Canada, it's like really it's a stepping stone and it's a foundation when it comes to data sovereignty. It's like a genuine window here. I mean, Canada's leading in data sovereignty. That data sovereignty discussion has been on everybody's mind for many years. And it's been a concern for Canada for many years. And that model itself, it's a great model to figure it out. Like, I can think of Switzerland, I can figure, you know, many other countries out there that specifically in the European Union.
Singapore, where, even in Asia.
For Asia, where data is important and controlling the data is important. And they don't want to get on some sort of a, like, AI model that they don't know where the servers are. What happened in the next 24 months for Canada right now that holds the ground of, let's say, we're going to continue pushing that data sovereignty, or what do you think it will blow it up? Is there a risk here or no?
Now you're calling the Canadian in me, Robin. And you know, when I fight for Canada, right? So Canada team.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So this is the Canadian in me. This is just going to the years that we spent together also working in this industry and seeing that how much Canada has potential in many areas, but in particular, to start with the language industry and now with AI. And but there is a lot of opportunities for Canada to do. And I know last year, our prime minister was in Alberta and launched the AI innovation program that where Canada needs to lead. And I truly believe Canada should play or would play a role in the AI innovation ecosystem in the world. This is where we see language intelligence working and part of that journey to lead in AI, in sovereign AI. Canada is a trusted partner by the G7, by Europeans, by the Americans, by the whole world. We were never a threat to any country, whether it was data or anything. We are well positioned to be partners globally with any continent and any country. And language intelligence as a sovereign AI company can really help and work a key role into this roadmap that Canada and our Prime Minister is working on.
I really appreciate the engagement today, Mugais and Andre. I really appreciate you spending some time with me and my audience on this conversation. As we wrap it up, what if somebody listening to this conversation wants to engage with you, wants to reach out, how do they get a hold of you and where do they find you?
Well, great. I think if they Google my name or Mugai's name, they'll find all our contact information, even maybe my car plate or whatever. You can find me whatever you want. So I invite them to visit our website, which is licorp.ai, licorp.ai. Find a bit of our website is still under development. As you understand, it's a new company, so we're still working. We decided to build the product first, then to launch the company versus doing the vice versa. But you can find our contact information. You can connect with Mugais via LinkedIn. His information are public. My information are public. Would love to help. Again, I just want to remind that Language Intelligence is a Canadian company. It's sovereign AI. It is for enterprise. It is for government agencies. It is done for private AI to leverage for multilingual communication. Effective, productive, high-performing platform.
I want to thank you again. Any last comments? We'll start from Mukesh. Any last comment before we wrap it up?
I'm just very excited to speak to anyone who's reaching out to. And like I said, with the speed and scale of innovation that we are dealing with right now, don't limit your imagination and don't tie yourself with solutions that could be outdated in 3 months. Think about the long term. Think about think about the best thing that you heard about 6 months ago. Is it still the best? It's not. So position yourself in a way where you are ready for what's coming next.
Thank you, Mugesh. Appreciate it. Andre, any last comment?
I have an invitation. So we will be holding a conference where we're going to have presentation, demo, and a panel discussion at the Economic Club of Canada. This is coming up. I know later on we'll be publishing the dates and the speakers, but stay tuned. This is more to come, where if you are a chief information officer, if you're a chief technology officer at any company, or you're interested to learn about language intelligence, this is an invitation, open invitation to join us at the Economic Club of Canada in Toronto to learn a lot more about our product, our company, and about the potential for your business to invest into such platform and such technology.
Well, thank you so much. I want to thank you both, Andre and Mugesh. Thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I hope this conversation that we've had today help you. I hope it achieves the desired results that you guys have had some intentions before we started the conversation. Hopefully it achieves those results. Hopefully you got what you wanted out of it. And for the audience, I want to thank you so much for joining me. If you're coming on YouTube, thanks for watching us. If you're coming on our podcast channels, thanks for listening in. And if you're coming on our reviewing the, you know, where I summarize on our blog site, where I summarize all these conversations in a short read, a 2-3 minute reads, for those individuals who probably don't have the time to listen to 1 hour conversation, which I didn't meet too many of you guys, I'm just joking. But if you want to listen, if you want to read the summary of these conversations, they're all logged on our blog site, robinayoub.blog. Check it out. And I will see you at the next episode. I want to thank our guest speakers today. I've learned a lot. Very well educational today conversation. Thank you, Mugesh. Thank you, Andre. I wish you the best of luck on language intelligence, and I'll see you soon. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.